Good morning. Please turn to 326. Good to see everyone this morning. Numbers is down, but we'll do the best we can. Good to have our visitors with us this morning. Good to see Lisa back with us. Got another visitor. Good to have him with us, Jim. Daryl's our speaker this morning. Hurst, good to have him and Karen with us here at the Church of Christ, New Lex. 326, please.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Stand.
Let's go to God in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we'd like to thank you for letting us be able to come here this morning to be able to sing hymns and be able to hear a lesson from your word. Be with Daryl as he brings a lesson the hour to us this morning. Be with all the sick and the shut-ins, the ones especially being away from us. Be with them during their time of illnesses. Be with all the ones that's possibly out and traveling and stuff like that right now. Be with them. And also be with us during the time of our later that we're understanding that we may have some bad weather. Be with all of us and keep us safe. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Romans. Comes from Romans chapter 12. Then it'll be from verses 1 through 3. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I read you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is not comfort to this world, but it is transferred by the renewance of your mind. And that you may reprove that it is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say there through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than ought to be thinking, to the think sober, according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Invitation song will be 616, if you'll mark your psalm books there. Please turn to 466. 466. I need thee every hour.
I need thee every hour. Most
Daryl.
Good to be with you again here this morning. Here we are into the year 2020. I guess the thought that I would bring up to you right now is, how many of you, if you've had to write the number 2025, have wrote 2024 already? Used to be something that would be done quite a bit when we were using paper checks, when we were in school and having to put the date on our homework or whatever we were doing, to always write the previous year. But it's good to be here with you again this morning. Of course, those that are watching on Facebook or whatever the digital service might be, we're glad to have that you're with us here as well, and would ask and pray that someday perhaps you'll be able to take the time to join us here for us. And then, of course, the Bible study, which is right before that. How's your life going to be measured? Here in 2020, it's going to be measured. The story is told of a preacher who was sitting beside a soldier who was leaving his family, was going to be deployed to the battlefield. As they were sitting on the airplane, they were talking about what was to happen, about life, death, and what would it be like if he was to die young. It says the young man made a very profound statement to the preacher. Life is not to be lived in length, but in depth. Not in how long you live, but in what you do while you are alive. You know, it would seem that the worst thing that could ever happen to any of us would to be laying on our deathbed, to realize we had lived a shallow life. There's a statement that sometimes we've all heard, maybe even in one fashion or another, said, and that's the fact, I saw my life flash before my eyes. You know, sometimes you maybe see that more on the television when a program is going on, especially some of the older westerns. But if that's true, and you were in a position and you saw your life flash in front of your eyes, what would you see? How long would it be? Would it be something that would your life be short with nothing there? Would it be long with just a lot of fanciness and frills? Or would it be the things that you saw? Would there be something of depth that you had done in your life? How sad it would be if a person's life would be summarized in the following. Their life as a youth was a tragedy. Their life as an adult was a blunder. And their death was a regret. Their life as a youth was a tragedy. Their life as an adult was a blunder. Death was a regret. That's not saying much for the life that a person might live if that's what their life was about. How sad it would be for us to realize that upon our death, we lived a shallow life. We lived a life with no meaning, no purpose behind it. So how can a person live their life in depth? how is it that one lives a life with depth to it? Is it done just by living like everybody else? That there's no difference between your life and the person that lives down the street from you? No difference in anything that goes on in your life and the person that walks the streets? Are we always looking out for number one? Are we always having to be in charge? Do we always have to be the one in control of everything? Are we a person who is always putting other people down? We never do things to build up, uplift, let others know that we care about them? Are we more only concerned about people telling us that they care about us? Do we always have to look like we're the ones that's right? That no matter what happens, we want to make sure that we look good? Do we go around not caring who gets hurt in life? Just so that we get our way? Think about those things. Think about them and how it applies to you. Not the person sitting beside you. You might say, well, Darrell, I've been a Christian all my life. Okay. How does it apply to you? Be honest with yourself. With the life you live. How deep is your life? Or is your life, you just live up on top of the water, just skimming along? I saw this morning on the BBC, as we were getting ready for church, on the BBC TV program, and it all the time talking about nature. And it just showed these bubbles on top of the water. And I'm looking and I'm trying to figure it. My mind's always spinning saying, okay, what are they going to show us here? And here's 15 or 20 bubbles in a little circle. And then all of a sudden, up out of that water, came a huge humpback whale. 3, 4, 5, 6 of them. And all those bubbles have been made from depth. They had been down deep trying to get the little fish, whatever it was, the snails, whatever they were going to eat, into a group so they could eat them. But it required them to have some depth to what they were doing. Is that any different with us? If that humpback whale would have stayed up on top of the water, eventually it's just going to die. But it has to have depth in what it's doing in order to survive. Do we have depth in our life so that when we live our life spiritually for the Lord, it has some meaning? We just kind of just go along with whatever's happening. Not trying to make things better. Only wanting things to be better for me. For me as an individual. Well, let's look here at Romans chapter 12. The reading that Mark had for us here. Let's take time to look at it here. Paul starts off here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the first things we have to do is we have to make a realization. If we want our lives to have any depth to it, we have to make a realization that we need to conform not to the world, but to the Lord. That we need to think like He thinks, live like He lived, love people like He loved people, not the way that we want to, not with just a surface love, but with a deep love. You know, we'll jokingly with kids and grandkids, when they're little, you know, we tell them, you got to bring it up from the toes. You got to bring it up from your feet. Is that the way we love people? Or is our love just skin, surface love? Or is the love that we have forever for others deep? Are we conformed? Do we change? Do we present ourselves a living sacrifice? Well, what's that mean, living sacrifice? What's it mean? Well, a sacrifice under the Old Testament law was something that was given to God in its entirety. The calf, the lamb, whatever was sacrificed, it gave its all. It gave its all to be that sacrifice. This is going to sound a little corny, but there again, sometimes I go corny in the middle of a sermon. You've got a cow, you got a chicken, and you got a pig. They're all standing there in the barnyard, and they can look through the window at the farmer's table. And the chicken's there, and it's just clucking away, just as happy as can be. And it tells the other, says, look at that. I made those eggs and gave them to the farmer. And the farmer's able to eat those eggs for breakfast. Boy, I've done something that's pretty good. And the old cow, she's just kind of mooing real low, and she's happy, and she says, that's my milk he's drinking. Pig standing there with a tear in his eyes. They said, what are you crying about? That was my son. That's my son he's eating for breakfast. You see, the chicken just had to give a little bit. The cow just had to give a little bit. The pig had to be a total commitment. I've never gone into a barnyard of any farmer and seen a three-legged pig walking around because they cut one off to have some meat. When the pig gives, it gives its all. And that's what we're supposed to be. We give ourselves our total commitment to the Lord. And we really need to realize that we need to stand and live for Him. We need to be transformed. We must take place, our transformation must take place in that we change from what we are to something better. What are you this very moment? What are you in your life? Is there anything you can do to make the depth of your life better? That's what Paul's talking about here when he talks about changing, being a living sacrifice, being holy, being acceptable. We need to transform to what we normally live in each day to something better. Well, you might say, well, Darryl, I'm pretty good. Can you be better? Can Darryl be better? Can I be deeper in the love that I have for my wife, for my children, for the people I see each day of the week? And we need to revitalize or renew our mind from where it was to where it should be. Back to those whales. They'll be on top of the water for a while, swimming around. But when they come across that the krill or whatever it is they were eating, they change what they're doing. They're just not swimming along top of the ocean. They all of a sudden change. And they say, we've got to do something different. We want to eat. You want to eat? You got to do something different. And they go down. And they spin around. There were some that my wife mentioned to me the other day. She saw the orcas. The orcas would go over. They would find the fish they were wanting to eat. They couldn't catch them. The fish were too quick. But the orca had something. It knew, if I change the situation, if I change what I'm doing, I'm going to be able to get what I need. And they would slap the water underneath the water with their tail, which would send a shockwave, knock the other fish out, and then they were able to eat. It changed what it did. And we, in the same way with our minds, we need to see that we're loving people not at the level of the world out here, not at the level of the people that live here on this street here, that live back uptown. We need to see that we live and love at a deeper level. That our life then is lived in depth, not in shallowness. We can't remain the person that we were. Go over to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. You'll find the story about the Philippian jailer. Paul and Silas are in prison. Now, you talk about somebody that changed his life, somebody who made a difference. The Apostle Paul seemed to be living a life of depth. He's living for God the way he understands that he's supposed to, but he wasn't paying attention to what God had said in the Old Testament law. He's going about persecuting his Christians. Jesus appears before him in a bright light, blinds him. Paul eventually becomes the Christian he's supposed to be, and he finds himself in the jail in Philippi with Silas. And while they're there, what do you suppose most of the other prisoners are doing? If you were to think of any kind of a television show where you've seen prisoners in a cell, you know, whether it's a movie from that would depict something from the 1400s or the 1600s or the 1800s or last week, what do you suppose those other prisoners are like? Well, I don't think there's somebody that you ladies would want to take home to mama and say, "Harry, here's my new boyfriend." They're just not that kind of people. But what's Paul and Silas doing? They're singing songs. They're praising God. They're giving him honor and glory. They're taking the time to pray to the Lord God, thanking him for what they've been able to do. They've been able to teach this person. They've been able to teach that person. Not giving themselves a pat on the back, but they're thanking God for them, praying for those people, praying for the other prisoners around them, no doubt. Singing songs, and the Lord God has an earthquake come by, knocks the doors loose, makes it to where all the prisoners can escape, nobody escapes. And we get over here in the 16th chapter in verse 30. Now let's back up to verse 28. Paul called out to the centurion. He says, "Do yourself no harm. Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." See, he was going to take the place of the prisoners, which would probably meant his execution. And the centurion called for light, ran in and fell down, and he trembled before Paul and Silas. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, put yourself in that prison. You are in the place of Paul and Silas. Would there have been enough depth in your prayers, in your songs, in your giving God glory, that God would have caused the earthquake to come to free you? And that would have caused that centurion to come in and look at you and say, "What must I do to be saved?" Is there enough depth in your life that that would have happened? See, Paul transformed his life from what he was to what he needed to be. He had transformed his life from what he was. He was on top of the world in the Jewish world, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a leader in the Jewish nation as far as the teachings was. Part of the Sanhedrin. But he changed. And he found out that his life was just not up here. But his life went from here to here. It got a lot deeper, had a lot more meaning to it. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of law, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection and mercy," Paul says here in Philippians chapter 2 at verse 2, "fulfill my joy." He's not saying fulfill your joy. Fulfill my joy. What was Paul's joy? Serving the Lord. Doing the Lord the things he should. He said, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing that you do be done through selfish ambition." See, that's the problem with people in the world. The things they do, generally speaking, are for selfish reasons. They aren't doing things necessary to benefit the Lord. Many times people are not doing things to benefit others, but to only make themselves look better. And Paul says, don't do that. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself," or in other words, yourself. Do you look at others as better than you? That's what Paul says. When you look at others, okay, who are others? Well, others could be your neighbor that literally lives beside you or close to you. Others could be the person that you see at the grocery store or at the laundromat or wherever you eat from time to time if you go out. Others could be your children, your parents, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife. Do you look at them as better than you? Do you treat them better than you treat yourself? That's what Paul's talking about. Anybody else that we see, we're supposed to treat them better than we treat ourselves. And in doing so, when we treat others better than ourselves, our life then begins to have depth to it. Because people that know you will want to be with you. They will want to be around you. They will want to do things that you enjoy doing, whatever those things might be. Depth. Depth in our life. Continuing on. Let each of us here in verse 4 look not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. Yeah, you've got to take care of yourself. Paul's saying, don't forget that. You have yourself to take care of. But if the possibility there is to help take care of others, to treat others kind, treat them like they don't expect to be treated. That's what our obligation is. And let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Okay, what kind of mind? Well, you can look at all kinds of people. Things you see on television, you hear on radio, you see on the internet. You can think about things they say, things they do. And sometimes those are good. There will be some things that will be good that we can pick up that other human beings will tell. Other human beings will say, such as this young man who told the preacher, life is not to be lived in length, but in depth. That's something good to apply to your life. But the most important thing is the second part here of 2 Philippians 2, or Philippians 2, verse 5. The mind that which needs to be in you is the mind of Christ Jesus. When you put in you the mind of Christ Jesus, everything else will make sense. When you put that in yourself, when you make that, your life will go from shallow to deep. Well, let's jump back over to Romans chapter 3 and look, or Romans chapter 12, and look at the verse we didn't look at earlier, which is Romans 12, verse 3. And this kind of comes back to what we've just been hitting on. For I say that through the grace given to me, Paul says, to everybody that's among you. He said, this isn't just being told to one person. I'm not directing this conversation and this instruction to one person in particular. Paul says, I'm telling this to all of you. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. I like to say is, don't get the big head. Don't put yourself up on a pedestal. Because when you put yourself up on a pedestal, you'll be knocked off. If others put you up on a pedestal, that's a different story. It's harder to knock you off of a pedestal when others have placed you there because they want you to stay there. And they're going to help you stay there. Why? Because there's depth to your life. They're impressed with you. They're thankful for you. You don't need to be on that pedestal. And you can say, hey, I'm not that special. And that's the way we're supposed to think of ourselves. Not that special. Let other people think of us that way. Let others be the ones that look at you. They look at you that way because your life has depth to it. It has meaning to it. But it's something that has to be done. I'm the only one that can do it for Daryl. Ernie's the only one that can do it for Ernie. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 27. You want to have a life that's got depth to it? You want to have a life that's got meaning to it? It has to be done by you. It cannot be done by anybody else. Paul says, I discipline my body. And I believe the King James says, uses the word daily there. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Everybody likes to put Paul up on a pedestal. Paul never put himself on a pedestal. We like to talk about how good he was, and he was. That's our responsibility to put him on that pedestal. That wasn't his. And he says, I discipline my body because, he says, I know I do things that's wrong. Did you ever try to read between the lines? I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Sitting at the house yesterday afternoon, watching a football game, I happened to notice a dog outside, our St. Bernard Daisy. She just love you to death. Any of you here, she'd just come up to you, boom, lay her head down on you, just knock you over, love you to death. But I'm sitting in there in the house watching her outside run around in the snow, doing what she normally does. And all of a sudden, I saw her stop and make a little bit of a beeline down to the end of the fence line, because she was going to go over to the neighbor's house. I jump up out of the chair, I open the door, and I yell, Daisy, get back here! Boom, right back, turns, comes right back around. Why? What did I have to do? I had to discipline her. Now, in this case, it just took the words. But the same thing was with the Apostle Paul. He said, I have to discipline myself daily. There were things that evidently in his life that he wasn't comfortable with. And he could have sat back in his easy chair and said, I'm the Apostle Paul. Listen to what I say. But he didn't. He took the time to no doubt think about his life. Think about the things he did yesterday or the day before, how he treated the people in the grocery there in wherever he might be at that particular time. The other people he sees when he goes out to teach and to preach. And he thinks, did I treat them properly? Did I treat them kindly? Did I make them better than myself? Did I try to uplift them? Or did I try to put them in their place? No. Paul says, I examine and discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Or in other words, I lose my own soul. Scripture talks about the fact that a person who would teach and then lose their own soul possible. It's possible. But it's also possible for all of us to be living our lives we think is a good life and lose our soul because our life has no depth to it. But our life can only have depth to it when we follow the Lord Jesus and do His will. Be certain that by living for Christ, be certain that living your life for Christ, your life will be measured in depth, not in length. Do you have depth to your life? Are you following the Lord and are you doing His will? This morning, as we offer the invitation, we would ask that you look at where you are. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Did you put Him on in baptism? Confessing Him as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, being baptized and rise to walk a new way of life? Or maybe you have and there's no depth to your life. You need to get your life where it needs to be in line with the Lord God. So this morning, if anybody does need to come, we would ask that you do so at this time as we stand and sing.
I was sinking deep in sin,
far from the peaceful shore, very deeply sank within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now saved am I.
Daryl for fine lesson. Please turn to 150 as we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper.
We saw thee not when thou didst come to this.
This morning I thought, what am I going to say up here at the table? Well, Daryl helped me out a bunch of that this morning. Depth. Jesus had such depth of his love for each and every one of us, for the whole world. Such depth of love we have no real understanding of. It's such a deep depth that it's hard to imagine for me. So much love for us that he was willing to go to the cross and give his life for each and every one of us. A great sacrifice Jesus paid for us. A great love. We come together on the first day of the week to remember that love of what he did for each and every one of us. Bread represents his body. Through the run of the vine represents his blood that was shed for us. Try to keep that deep in your heart and your thoughts. Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank for this day, for all the many blessings of life that you so richly bestow upon us. We ask you to bless this bread to represent your son's body that he gave on the cross, that sacrifice that he so freely gave for each and every one of us. Dear Lord, please forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. In like manner, let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, again we thank you for your Son. Bless this fruit of the vine. It represents his blood that was shed on the cross for each and every one of us. Help us to keep mindful of that sacrifice he paid for each, for us all. Forgive us, Lord, of our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Also, this being a convenient time, we're also commanded to give back as we've been prospered. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning, thanking you for your Son, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for all the blessing of life that you so richly bestow upon us. Help us be cheerful givers as we now give back a portion that you've given us back to thee for the running of the church. Dear Lord, again we ask you to forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Brother Tom, have announcements?
Please get a bulletin. A lot in there. I won't go over everything, but get a little bit of it. Holly put these out. She wants to have a ladies' Saturday morning's devotion. Get one of them, and she has more to give you if you want to know anything. See Holly. So. The ladies' winter morning devotion, 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. every first and third Saturday of the month. So if you have any questions, see Holly. She can tell you more about it. Got a text here from Terry Townsend yesterday or day before, Monday. He's going to have a youth devotional, New Concord, on Monday, January 6th, but it's been canceled due to the weather coming. And Terry says thanks. That was on. Also, I wrote this down. We need to remember the bad weather schedule. Maybe Holly can put this in the bulletin this winter for in case anyone forgets. Level 1, weather emergency. Sunday, no changes. That's level 1. Wednesday, no changes. Bible study. Level 2, weather emergency. Sunday, be one service at 2 p.m. in the afternoon when the roads get bad and maybe we can get out in the afternoon. That's level 2. Wednesday, be no service. Level 3, Sunday, no service. That's when the roads are real bad. And Wednesday, no service. So Mary Holly put that in so everyone can see that and remember during the winter months. I want to welcome our visitors this morning. Good to have you with us. Daryl, thank him for coming. A lot of sick here. I won't go over everyone here, but I want to remember Lisa's been out here lately, and she's back. Good to see her, Lisa. Les Ward and Rosemary's having a lot of problems, and Betty Yonis hadn't been here for 2 or 3 weeks. She's having bad headaches. Remember Betty in your prayers. Bonnie, she's having a lot of breathing problems. Remember Bonnie. And Holly's had health issues. Remember Holly. Sunday morning Bible study, we're starting in Galatians. I hope people can come and hear the word in Galatians. We're on chapter 1, and it's a good book. And then Sunday evenings, Holly has the ladies' class on. Okay, does anyone have anything else needs to be announced?
Thank you.
Thanks. Also, new janitor sheets up out there. If you can sign up for a month or whatever you can do, it'd be appreciated. They won't have anything else. Go ahead.
Something else on the podcast, too, that we started. Those now are going after podcasts. Google, Spotify, and a lot of different places you can pick that up. We also have the QR codes. If you have that on your phone, you can do that instantly. You don't have to put in all the address on those. You understand how to work the QR codes if you have it. If you don't, just ask Jared. I'm sure he'll help you and anyone that's using the QR codes. So keep that in mind. Okay.
Anyone have anything else? Hope everyone has a safe week. And we'll go to God in prayer. Whoever has closing prayer, please. Let's stand.
Tell me you want to remember the picture, the picture that's back in the foyer.
Yeah.
If you haven't got one, get the picture.
Yeah. Cindy Quinn made some pictures on the, they're back there, some's left. And whoever didn't get one, Cindy went to a lot of work for them, and thank her for that, Cindy Quinn. Let's go to God in prayer.
Almighty Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Lord God, for this first day of the week, Lord, that you have allowed us to come here to worship thee, Lord. So thankful, Lord God, for your word that we have to study, Lord, and to live by, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, you would give us the heart of love that you have for us, Lord, that we would live by thy word and do thy will, Lord, and not ours. Lord God, we pray for all those sick and afflicted among us, Lord, that your holy hand would reach down and touch them, Lord, and help them and strengthen them, Lord, and help them to stay spiritually strong, Lord. Lord, and as we go home, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would go with us, Lord. Lord, and we would praise you each day of the week, Lord, not just on Sunday, Lord, but every day of our life, Lord. Give you the praise and the glory that you deserve, Lord, because we know that you deserve all of us, Lord, and not just part. Lord, and so thankful for your son, Jesus, and what he did for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.